I'm here with Christoph Heinz, who is the UN Special Rapporteur on Extrajudicial Summary or Arbitrary Executions. And Christoph's next thematic report to the Human Rights Council in June is on the topic of the right to life and ICTs, or information and communication technology. And we are here at the Centre of Governance and Human Rights at the University of Cambridge in the UK, as we've spent the past 2 days in consultation with an amazing group of experts on this very topic. So firstly, Christoph, thank you very much. I'm really interested to know, firstly, why you chose to focus on the impact of ICTs on the right to life.
Yes, a lot of my work has focused on technology in the last few years, on drones, autonomous weapons, and so on. But that, of course, brought me under the impression of the role that technology plays in general. But I think in human rights work in general, it's clear that civil society, including NGOs, but also corporations, are very advanced in the field of ICTs, but not necessarily the international organizations. And it seemed to me that there's a mismatch between what is available and then us who are in the international organizations not being able to use all that information. It also seems to be a highly complex field, so it offers a lot of advantages, but there are also huge pitfalls, both in terms of privacy, in terms of security, and all those things. So I think we need a better understanding of the potential that it holds and the use that we can make of it. I also had the experience, actually when I started as mandate holder, of receiving video footage of executions, in that case in Sri Lanka. And the question was whether it was authentic. I had to submit a report to the council on that and got some experts from ballistics and also forensic pathologists and then people who specialize in video and audio to do the analysis. And in the end, my report was that it was authentic. The executions did take place. And that was at the time when Channel 4 then published and broadcast a documentary on Sri Lanka, in which they then used some of that footage and said the UN had authenticated it. And it was clear to me that has a huge impact. You reach the public with a very visible message, and it has all kinds of implications in terms of the mobilization of international opinion. And it's a very powerful tool. If it's used in the wrong way, it is of course disastrous. Because if you get that sort of information, and you think it's authentic but it's not, then I think you can discredit the whole human rights machinery, really. But if it is used in the right way, I think it's potentially very powerful. And that motivated me to say, if we're talking about the right to life as one of the supreme rights, irreversible if it's taken, and certainly the imperative on accountability, that ICTs have a lot of potential.
Absolutely. And this Sri Lanka example, it seems like you went on such a journey to, you know, from receiving this footage somehow. I don't know how you received these kind of images which are showing, you know, these atrocities. And then, as you say, there needs to be this, you know, very strict verification, authentication. And then who do you present that to, and how? And then the questions about how you make an impact with that as well. You know, you have to be kind of careful of who you show it to and how you use it. There's all about the context of how you use these you know, this footage. So, you know, do you think ICTs make a real difference to your work in terms of, you know, getting this message across about these atrocities that are happening?
Yes, I think so. I think it is indeed very important that you must be fair to the states concerned as well. So you must really make sure that you get experts to work with you on these things, because very few of us are experts in digital information in our own right. But you must be able to draw on the expertise. I do think it makes a big difference also in terms of the verification of information. If we get verification, or if we get information from a particular source that may not be a regular source, it may not be an Amnesty International Human Rights Watch report that we get, but it's from a source outside of the mainstream. If we do not pay attention to those to that information, we are just reinforcing really the distribution of knowledge and what is getting attention already in the world, and we're not making a contribution towards a broader range of involvement from the international system. But ICTs can help us there then as well, if we get this uncorroborated information, if we can then look at what is available in terms of digital information, we are in a better position to come up with a responsible response to the information that we're getting.
And we've spoken quite a bit over the past couple of days about the ICT companies that are involved in this, you know, the platforms that we all use and that a lot of this content is uploaded to. And, you know, the responsibilities of those companies, but also the responsibilities that they have to themselves with their community rules, that there seems to be this, you know, this tension between footage that stays up and comes down, but, you know, a lot of that kind of evidence might be lost. I was just wondering if you could say a little bit about your thoughts on the role of ICT companies in this, in your mandate as well.
Yeah, I think that is very important, and they play a very central role, a role that was probably not possible to imagine 10 years or 20 years ago. As the mediators of a lot of information of what we think is true about our world. And I don't see them in the first place as taking the final human rights decisions on things, but they operate within a human rights world, and what they do has implications for human rights protection and the right to life in many ways. So I think what you mentioned about them having footage that could be used potentially. I do think there's a responsibility on them to take some of the footage off and not have it available, but to keep it so that it's archived and it can be used later. There's also the responsibility, which is implicit in what I've said, is where there's material that may be incitement to the use of violence and to causing death. Some of the examples in our meeting were very graphic about what can be done. I think the example of somebody who's in a very conservative society portrayed as having danced with men, and then eventually she's killed, but it's not correct information, but it's just portrayed in that way. These things have consequences, so I do think it's important that ICT corporations operate within that framework and that they recognize their responsibility as far as the right to life is concerned.
And we also spoke about hoaxes as well, this kind of the flip side, like you say, of this this fake information, which can also endanger the right to life as well. Is that something that you've looked at in your mandate as well, the sort of the fake information that circulated on the internet?
Yes, and certainly that's something I was very aware of in the context of, say, Sri Lanka and Syria as well. And other states, is that you get information where you think it may be information that's planted, and then if you act on it, you can be discredited. So in that sense, hoaxes can undermine the whole system, or it can misdirect actions against somebody who's pointed out as having done something which is not correct. Yeah.
Really looking forward to the reports. Thank you very much for the past couple of days, and thank you for being one of IHRB's voices.
And thank you very much for your participation in this expert meeting as well.